Bizin amatzev from Cheshach HaGolos Leilis, till even in a state, in a situation of the darkness of exile, which are the nights, where it's possible that there should be the existence of an individual whose internal spiritual state is not commensurate to his external appearance. It's possible to accomplish their bir in aliyah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In other words, to enable people to transcend their limitations, to reach even those people who are in a world of and are affected by the limitations of the world and are affected by the concealments of the world. And even those individuals to the point that ain't teichem kibarim, that they're not, that their spiritual state is affected adversely, that even those individuals should be able to refine themselves and elevate themselves and transcend their limitations. When the ribbis be'esayim sulkul l'shemer ha-pesach v'nitnu l'ham l'shusu tamidim l'konis. And that is why on that day they removed the guard from the door and they gave permission for the students to enter. V'stos is der inyan ha-nosi, that is the inyan of the nasi to marbizayim tamidim Yisrael, to cause an increase of students amongst the Jewish people. So you would think, being that Rebbe Elazar ben Azari is allowing in even a student whose inner spiritual state is not on par with his exterior, that's a compromise. So with such an individual, you could only accomplish an incomplete redemption. And therefore, with such a student, the most you could hope for is that he should suppress those negative aspects of his character, because he still contains evil within him. And he could, the most you could hope for is that he should resist and suppress those evil impulses. Which means that there's still evil on the inside, even if on the outside, behaviorally, he's fine. But there's still evil impulses on the inside, which the most you could hope for is that he can only resist those impulses. But the gula shleim is telling them, as a zolzayn dafke alts techi kabarit, as rohatum avim in arts. Because your reasoning for thinking this way would be because true redemption, complete redemption, it only allows for a situation in which the outside and the inside are the same, because at that time the spirit of unholiness, of impurity, will be removed from the earth. So the Chachamim that Rabbi Elazar ben Azari accomplished the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim b'leilos, the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of going out of that even those who are in a situation of leilos, those who are ain't teichi kabari, that they could experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Chachamim ed that not only could they experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, but kol yimechayach is keil neisef eif leilos eich lahavi limeis hamashiach. That call the days of your life include not only the nights that one could experience in Yetzias Mitzrayim at nights, but actually that through the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim one could actually bring about the experience of Yemei Samashiach. As Eichen Amatzah von Golos Vusestah Mitzias von Ein Techi Kebare came an Eiftan the Gula Shleim. And even in a situation of Golos, where there is the existence of falsehood and evil, and therefore the discrepancy between the internal and the external, even in such a state, we could accomplish a complete redemption. This is also alluded to in this that it says that even Rabbi Gamliel, that after he was removed from his position, and they abolished his system, and they allowed everybody in. Still in awe, Rabbi Gamliel himself did not stay away from Beis Medrash. He could have been, he was publicly ashamed, he was publicly humiliated, and the whole system of Beis Medrash was being conducted not according to his wishes. And yet, he did not stay away from the Beis Medrash, afilu shor achas. He did not remove himself from the Beis Medrash even 1 hour. Despite the fact that as Rabbi Lozman and Azari Tut'ef as Eichrab and Gamliel was Targus Avidosa is Fabund with Yemes HaMashiach Kanal, that Rabbi Lozman and Azari accomplished that even Rabbi Gamliel, who his level of Avodah is connected to Yemes HaMashiach, is Maskim, that he agrees U'misayeya, and he helps out to them say the Anhaga for Rabbi Lozman and Azari. That even Rabbi Gamliel, who insists on perfection, is once Rabbi Lozman Azari's order is established, Rabbi Gamliel helps and participates in the Beis Medrash in following Rabbi Lozman Azari's approach. As Nitna Rishus Tamidim Likonis Beis Medrash, that allowed permission for the students to enter into the Beis Medrash. And this is here's a classic Geula Dika concept that many people have to know and apply in their expectations from themselves and in their chinuch of their children. One of the problems that I have in my line of work is getting people to appreciate what it is that I'm trying to do when I work with young people. And most people totally don't relate to the concept. And most people that is expressed in this, most people, when they see a kid who's not learning or into other things outside of learning or attracted to worldly matters and worldly affairs and follows, is involved in certain taivas and so on, so their most natural response is to make some kind of compromise in order to minimize, in order to try to minimize the negativity that this young person generates. What they try to do is create a compromise. They feel that, like, so they'll make an arrangement whereby the person is working or studying, or going to high school, college, or going to involve in other activities, because you have to make some kind of, because he's not cut out, you can't strive for perfection, you can't strive for, that the kid should make a complete, total turnaround and a complete, total change in his outlook and in his life. The most you could expect is some kind of compromise, where at least he restrains his impulses, his worst of his impulses to a certain degree, and he's involved in some kind of generally productive activity and so on. So most people are, when they work with kids in general, especially kids who they don't see them being particularly fruitful in their studies, so what they should do is, or kids who are even worse, who are getting into trouble and so on, what they do is they try to make some kind of compromise. And the same thing people do, the same thing with themselves. People see in themselves that they have certain negative impulses, and they have certain negative traits. So what they do is they settle. They lower their expectations of themselves, because you have to be practical, you have to be realistic. The kid, you know, he has the certain negative traits, and you just have to, you know, adapt and adjust to try to make some kind of arrangements where the positive outweighs the negative. And that is the idea of not striving for a geula shleima. I'm saying, listen, you're trying to reach somebody who's living in darkness, trying to reach somebody who's being affected adversely by his Yetzirah, so the best you can hope for is that he should give him some way to be able to stifle some of his worst impulses and channel some of his energies into something which is not bad. And I'm here saying that no, that's not the Avodah of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Klaim Yehayach L'Havim Elazar Mashiach means that you take a Talmud, she ain't techik about it, that Rabbi Gamliel, the perfectionist, doesn't even allow him to the Beis Medrash, and not only schlep him into the Beis Medrash, but bring him to a state of Gula Shlem. Bring him to a state of techik about it. And that is something that is again one of the big chiddushim of the Rebbe in general and b'frat in the Indian of Gula Mashiach, that this Indian that you can break down a person's spiritual journey into smaller parts, and therefore in his spiritual journey it might be necessary for him to at some point do some kind of program which is has other activities and other pursuits, because you have to build them up. Okay, if he's going from no learning at all, you know, you have to be able to build him up. Or if he's going from an environment where he's not exposed to learning and you want to get him into a learning environment, you have to build him up. So you offer him an environment where he has part-time learning and part-time other activities which attract his interest. But your goal has to always be, that's not a tachlis. That's just, could be a means, a path, a step in the path, in the spiritual journey, to ultimately reach a state where the person is totally, completely in the realm of Kedusha. And not looking for some happy compromise, happy medium, some compromise in which, listen, at least let him be Hashem HaShabbos, and Baal HaBas is Hashem HaShabbos, and you know, he's going to have from family, instead of what do you expect from him that he should be, a Grace HaChassid, a Grace HaTav. You have to lower your expectations. And the crime of lowering our expectations is twofold, because when you lower your when you don't let a kid into Beis Medrash, or you give the kid a message that he doesn't, that Beis Medrash is not his place, so what happens is that the message you're telling the kid is, you listen, I don't believe in you. I don't think you have what it takes. I don't think you can make it. That's the message you're telling the kid. And you say, well, he's not a learner, he's not a this, he's not a that. He's not cut out for it. Not everyone is for shlichus, and not everyone is for this, and not everyone is for that. So what happens is, the message you send the kid is, I don't think you're good enough. I don't think you can cut it. I don't think you can make it. Now, let me tell you something. When a parent communicates to their kid that I don't think you can cut it, I don't think you can make it, your kid believes you. It's hard as heck to convince them that they can make it, that they can cut it, that they have what it takes, that they have. It's very easy to convince them that if you're convinced that they don't have it, very easy to convince a kid. Because, you know, in general, succeeding in anything is an uphill struggle. And if he doesn't have that extra push, if you tell him, listen, don't bother, you're not going to make it, so he's ready. So the kid is going to give up. Because my own parent doesn't expect from me too much. So the message, and the same thing with teachers, rabbeim, I mean, the main message that kids have to get is a high level of belief, and a high level of expectation, because the belief that there is a mitzad haneshama. A mitzad haneshama, he's... That's it. Mitzad HaMashama, he's capable of reaching a state of ghoulish life. He has Yechid HaShem HaNefesh, he has an Atzim HaMashama, and when that kicks in, and if he accesses that part of the Heek, that's his true state. His true Metzias is ghoulish life. His true Metzias is living in a world, in a realm of total Kedusha. And because we don't expect that from ourselves, so we don't communicate that expectation to our children. And that's why, and we don't take advantage of the fact that the Rebbe is offering us, but the Rebbe is saying, you could do it, the children could do it, and, you know, in this class sequence where the Rebbe says the children could do it, clearly the Rebbe, we did the sikha of Sofas Tera, Tavshon Beis, the Rebbe says that the children are ready to live on a level of Einoid Mulvade, total elikus. Nothing else exists outside of Kedusha, outside of elikus. This is where the children are holding, and the Rebbe says through the children everyone can achieve that. And so the Rebbe is saying you can, and we unfortunately are giving ourselves and our children and the message that we can. And like I said, you know, I whenever I talk to people about this, I encounter, you know, raised eyebrows and disbelief and like who are you kidding, you know? And personally, I tell you, I've done it. There are kids who are totally out of anything and everything, and this who are today sitting and learning full time and are going to grow up to be chassidish, yalad, shluchim, and so on. And that's the world that they live in. Could they do more? Maybe, but I'm just saying that to set that expectation and to see that expectation fulfilled is that did every single kid that I encounter across my PF fulfill all the expectations? No. But when they talk to me and they deal with me, they know that the message is they can do anything. And they have to exercise their free will and their choice. They have to make the choice. But there's such resistance to that message from the adults are far more resistant to the message than the kids are. When you talk to kids, they're much more open to hearing that message that they can. Then the adults are their own parents and their own teachers and their own are so resistant to these ideas that it's...
How do you get the teachers to change? Speaking of many of the adults that I know don't necessarily... I mean, there may be time and energy constraints for people like for myself, but I don't think there's any other constraint other than time and energy, which is a very enormous constraint when you have to pay yeshiva bills. I realize you don't buy that, but it means a great deal to me because I have to... worry about that, and the energy that goes into that is mind-boggling. But the for the kids, I think the main problem is the teachers. The attitude that most of the teachers have. If the kid doesn't show signs of being an exceptional student, they just don't really expect much from them.
It's a problem.
So how do you change?
Some teachers are that way. The fact is, the truth is that when parents show the teachers that they're very involved. Not they're very nudgy and demanding. When the parents show a teacher that they're very nudgy and demanding, they turn the teacher off. When parents show that they're very involved and they want to help, what could I do? Tell me what I could do. You know, I want to work with you. I want to help. When parents show that they're very concerned, they're very involved, most teachers will be far more accommodating. What happens is that we have part of the American, one of the problems of our Americanized attitudes is that we, in a society that is a very, litigious society, so we have, many people have an adversarial approach, and they come in and demand their rights. They have their rights, and when you come into people and you demand your rights, very often you turn those people off. When you come into the same teacher and you say, "What kind of job are you doing this? How come my kid can't read? How come my kid can't this? How come my kid can't that?" The teacher says, "I don't know. Maybe something wrong with your kid." But if you come into the teacher and you say, "Listen, what could I do? How could I help? What do you suggest? What is this?" And so on. So they're generally more accommodating and more. But in general, that's just a side point. In general, that is a universal problem. It's a universal problem that this outlook is not just on kids who are not so great producers. I mean, the outlook is on all kids. The level of expectation is shockingly low, and And I don't mean in terms of covering material and covering, I'm just saying in general, the level of expectation of what the spiritual standing and stature they expect the student to achieve is depressingly low. And like all the other universal problems, the way you change universal problems is through grassroots efforts. I mean, I know I'm still in the grass and in the roots, so like, I haven't got too far beyond that yet, but I mean, slowly, little by little, people are getting the idea, getting the message. And, you know. And, I mean, to me, there's nothing that compares to seeing a kid who everyone gave up on. Mamish, I've dealt with kids that not only everyone in the religious world gave up on, everyone in the mental health, secular world gave up on, and to mamish see them turn their lives around is an amazing thing. And it all basically is one. People ask, what's the trick? What do you do? How do you do it? What do you say to them? And the answer is, I don't know. All I know is, I'm not sure. I can't give you the recipe exactly. But I can tell you that it's all based on approaching a kid with the outlook of the Rebbe. That no matter where the kid is, no matter where the kid is at any particular time, and no matter what he's involved in at any particular time, he's got a neshama. And that neshama is perfect. If he only gets in touch with his neshama, then you'll see that perfection expressed in every part of his life. And anybody who sends a kid a message that we don't expect, you know, we don't think you're capable of perfection, is going to get what they expect. And usually you get less than what you expect. So, because when you shoot low, the kid will often shoot even lower.
They're very proud of their achievement, of pushing these kids up. Movement is very proud of that. They give honors for there's just, I'm talking about the Lam the Vav, the Lam the Hey. Married my wife, second wife, and we had a nephew there. That's what they did with him. They said, I said, this is nothing wrong, just an American. They send Shlomo Zalman Arbach. They're so proud of Baya Fagan that he has that school and they can learn part-day trades. Some place there, something to do with some kind of a trade school for the Frum kids. They learn part day.
Which school is it? Boys Town?
I don't know, something in Baya Vagon.
Right.
Because when they wanted to send the kid there, I went and stopped it. They went, the whole city, they went wild. How can you say that? He can't learn it. I said, he can't learn it. He's a question American. He needs a different kind of a setting. But they give such accolades in the press and in the religious world to these kind of schools that they set up, that they're part day. You know, I'm talking about kids.
Oh, considered one of the big achievements in Kfar Chabad is the Beisefer L'Melacha. The question is, where is the kid coming from? For a kid that's coming from a very low situation, the Beisefer L'Melacha is a big step up.
Yeah.
A kid that, and even then, the Rebbe felt that they weren't doing enough to bring the kids, more kids, all the way to become full chassidim, and it's a big. That's one of the big problems of the Sefer Lulach, is that they don't have enough of Ashpah system, which actually pulls kids all the way up. Most of the system just runs that the kids go through and they come out, and the idea is hopefully they'll be from. They'll go to the army and they'll come out. Hopefully, they'll be from. But Tereba very much wanted that the Beisefer L'Melacha should be a place where. And in the early years, they were pulling out. There's guys who became full fledged Hasidim and went through the Beisefer L'Melacha. But today, they have it's just a school system that turns out, you know. Bodies for the army and whatever mainstream traditional / orthodox Israeli society. But that's really, really one of the big problems in our education today and in our thing is the, you know, that the kids that are ain't teche gebari get pushed out of the base manager. The kids that are not able to, you know, they need that extra push. They need that extra. They need that extra inspiration. They need that extra. Kalach, that extra chizik. They find themselves outside of the base manager.
I mean, if that's the way of Beis Shammai, and the halacha of the Yasin of a week like Beis Shammai, Chiyarish, you should be headed more in that direction now.
No, because when the halacha of like Beis Shammai, there won't exist such a metzias. I ain't talking about it. It's not that there'll exist such a metzias and we'll kick them out. To the time when the halacha is like Beis Shammai is when there won't be such a metzias.
So we have galus, but we're...
Right now that we do have such a mitzvah, we have to go like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and even Ram Gamliel is maskim. Ram Gamliel, who's connected to the, you know, Beis Shammai, he's also maskim, ultimately, that we have to go with Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And dafka through Rav Elazar ben Azariah's approach, can we actually not only reach all those people, but we can actually bring them to a state of Geula Shleimah.
So what's the difference between that approach of Rav Elazar ben Azariah and what we have today, now that we've come into Yemes Mashiach? I mean, has anything changed? that approach that was good then.
No, that approach. No, so he's saying that approach is, I mean, the ultimate realization of that approach is that today we actually seeing that you could take people from Mamish, from the most, the greatest extreme of being in the lowest. I mean, today it's we're actually fulfilling Rav Elazar ben Azariah's. They're not only taking people Shein Teichi Gebari, we're taking people from drawing them out of the lowest klippas and shoving them into Beis Medrash, and we have the courage to transform them into people that are, that they should actually experience a Geula Shleimah. The problem is that we don't fully utilize that courage that we have, and for some reason we utilize it even less when we deal with our own kids. And for some reason it's easier for us to, whatever degree we do utilize it, it's easier for us to do it for others, somehow for strangers or fellow Jews that we never met before, than it is for us to do that with our own children. V'yesh l'heisiv pir eichen dem was the Mishnah analysis in Sefer HaKamah from Maseches Brachos. It also had explanation in the fact that this Mishnah is the end of the first parak of Maseches Brachos. The Aschol of Parak Rishon Maseches Brachos is Me'im Esakei Nishma Ba'arvin. Beginning of Maseches Brachos, the first chapter is from when do we read the Shema at night? Vasdos ba'dayt ba'veidu ruchnis di pu'ulu from Krishma Kabbalah Samach Shemaim u'be'efa from Me'im Esakei Milosh and Eime hafilu ba'arvin u'cheshich halayla va'agolos. That spiritually, in terms of our spiritual service, this alludes to the effect of Krishma, the act of Krishma, of accepting the yoke of heaven, and in a way of may emasai, from my ema, from my awe, even in the nights, in the darkness of the night of the exile. Thus is the techem b'seifa perek, and this is also the content of the end of the perek. Was not sefer b'tchilasan, as we said many times, as brought in sefer, it's here that the rule is that the end is planted in the beginning. As maskein yitzis mitzayim b'leilas b'kriyashma, that we mention yitzis mitzayim at night in kriyashma, as yitzis mitzayim is dover echad mamash mit kriyashma. As the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya Perek Mem Zayin, that yitzis mitzayim is one is literally one and the same as Kriya Shema. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim means going out of being an entity that's separate and removed from God, and connecting with the reality of God, of Hashem Echad, connecting with the reality of God's oneness. That is literally what Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriya Shema is literally one and the same. V'lachet tiklu parshas Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Alter Rebbe says that therefore they established the saying of the parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim as Krishma Dafka, afshi mitzvah v'fnei atzmo lemi mitzvah Krishma chum. Even though it's a separate mitzvah, the mentioning of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a separate mitzvah, it's not part of the mitzvah of Krishma, and yet they put it together with Krishma because in terms of spiritual significance and content, it's one and the same. Al pi haklal from Noyet Sefer b'tchilasim, tchilasim b'sefer, and based on the aforementioned rule that the end is planted in the beginning and the beginning in the end, hatis hashachas mitziyum hashas, it has a connection with the end of the entire shas, sayin gemara, where the end of the shas in gemara, as the end of shas in gemara, and he's going to say also the end of shas as it is in Mishnayos. The end of shas in gemara is kol hashen alochs b'chol yimuftach leishu b'neilam abba, that he, and we say this every day, and you have to Peter Maktedis, that whoever reviews laws and studies laws every day is guaranteed that he is a ben eilam haba, shenem halichas eilam loy, as it says, the pathways of the world are to him, al tikra halichas ela halachas. Do not say, read it halichas, but rather halachas. That through halachas is eilam loy, he merits the world to come. As in halichas eilam is v'mam shech halichas ha-tera, biz di dagger von eilam haba, keilu pirushe eilam ha-tchilos loy. That in halichas eilam, in the ways of the world, we draw down into the ways of the world the halachas of the Torah till we actually connect with the level of the world to come, including the explanation of eilam haba as a means, the world of resurrection in the future to come. On Sayyid Mishnayos, and it's also connected to the end of the Mishnayos, like Matzak Hashbar Keli Marzik. Brach l'Yisrael el Hashem, Shalom Shneema Hashem Vezlam Yitev, Hashem Yivarech Zami Vashalom. The Mishnah says that Hashem did not find a vessel which can contain blessings for the Jewish people except peace. As it says that God gives strength to His nation, Hashem will bless His nation with peace. And also the end of Gemara Brachas itself is with that same pasuk. As the Rebbe Shtigit Eiz to Eden, Al derech Eloz ben Azariah Kael Ezer ben Ezer Yudke, Aleph Lamed Ezer ben Ezer Yudke, that the Eibishter gives the strength to the Jewish people. Similarly to the idea of Eloz ben Azariah, that the Eibishter provides the help and assistance, Ein Oiz Elotera, as Chazal say that strength, it refers to, Oiz refers to Torah, Bizaz Esved Hashem Yivarech Esami Vashalom, till we achieve a state where Hashem blesses His nation with peace. Hashleimus inyan Hashalom be'elam is in the Gula Mitzvah Hashleimik and Vur be'in Padim Shalom Nash. That the Shleimus, the inyan of Shalom, is in the true and complete redemption, as explained on the subject of Padim Shalom Nash. That Shalom, the ultimate Shalom, is in the Gula Mitzvah Hashleim. Api analiz fashtani debir and divrei medrash ve'el shmeis b'nei Yisrael abayim mitzrayim al shem gulas Yisrael nizkiru kan. Based on all of the above, we can understand the explanation of the Medrash, the words of the Medrash that says these are the names of the sons of Israel that came to Egypt, that came to Mitzrayim, that the reason why the names are mentioned here is because they allude to the redemption of the Jewish people. Afal pi was pepashas is retzich is veng the yiridu von Abay Mitzrayim. Even though this, in the literal meaning, it's talking about the descent into the exile of those who are coming to Egypt. So why does it say that? The reason why the names are mentioned here again is as an allusion to redemption, if we're discussing the descent into the exile. Because maskirin yitzius Mitzrayim balaylos badait as an emes inyan von abayim Mitzrayim yirido cheshech hagolos leilos is gulos Yisrael yitzius Mitzrayim. Maskirin yitzius Mitzrayim balaylos indicates, teaches us that the true meaning of the descent into Egypt, to descend into the darkness of exile into nights, is redemption. It's not two separate things. It's not just a negative thing that you have to pass through in order to get redemption, but actually it's all about redemption. It's all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The descent into Mitzrayim is only about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Only about bringing godliness, infinite godliness, into a finite world. Breaking beyond the constraints of the finite, and therefore you go into the finite in order to bring infinite godliness there. Till the ultimate of bringing about the days of Mashiach, which is the true union of what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about, canal, as we said before. And the Rebbe's Hashem Guas Yisrael Nizkru Kan, and therefore they are mentioned in terms of the redemption of Israel. While the Kavana is as in the Matzah from Abayim Mitzrayim and Mitzarim and Gvulim, from an Eftar and Megalazim, because it's not Nabi Shulah Gula, nor as Dos Kufa is Hashem Guas Yisrael. The Dos Kufa is Guas Yisrael, is Hashem the Gula Mitzvah. Because the whole purpose of going into Mitzrayim is to go, is that in the matzav of Mitzrayim, in the constraints, in the boundaries, in the limitations, to accomplish and reveal that not only do the constraints and limitations exist, so that we should overcome them and achieve redemption, but that the constraints and limitations themselves is itself redemption. Because that is the whole concept of redemption, is revealing the godliness in those constraints and limitations. They're not just there as something to run away from and get away from. They're there because you're supposed to bring godliness into those situations. They're there because that is the ultimate gula, they are the ultimate expression of godliness. Till the ultimate redemption of the gula amitis vashlein. And we also point out that the sons of Israel that came to Mitzrayim were 70 souls. The Shleimas and Devas Merumas Vidabedu Vashtetin Dem as Eichen Abay Mitzrayim in Golos Vashin the Shivim Umas as Zayin Kenegi the Shivim Nefesh. Which alludes to us that the Avayda in going into Mitzrayim, going into Golos amongst the 70 nations which correspond to the 70 souls from which the Jewish people came out, as Rashi and Hazinu points out. So when Megalos and Gulas Yisrael, that in that situation, that's where we have to reveal the redemption of the Jewish people. That the Kerach, in order of accomplishing this, comes from the Shivim Nefesh, those who are the descent, those who go out from the thigh of Yaakov, that are his descendants of Yaakov, the direct children of Yaakov. Alderich v'rav lozman azayikim and shivim shana. Just like, it's the union of the shivim nefesh. I came to Mitzrayim, give the kach to bring Geulas Yisrael into Mitzrayim. And that's why they mentioned here, al union of Geulas Yisrael. Similar to Rav Lozman Azayah, who's like shivim shana, that he gives the kach of maskirin yitzis Mitzrayim balelos bizla havi li meis ha-mashiach. To the great and the main rabbis of Krishna, who is masked to his position, to achieve, to attain the state of the iron rabbis, of the large iron that is in Krishna.
What is that? Is the Rebbe going to explain the special shachas of the number 70 or iron or whatever would the idea of Geula?
We have been throughout.
Well, no, I understand that there is this. I mean, apparently 70 goes on this idea, but I mean, why 70? Why
not? He said that 70 represents the bearer of all the Shavamidas as their color of Esser. And that's why our job is to be Mavara, the world, and the Shivim Umas. Because the reason why the Shivim Umas that we have to be Mavara is because that's the spiritual Avodah, is to take the seven basic emotions and refine them, as each one of those seven is made up of 10 components, which is how you get to number 70. In fact, that's why the number for a relatively complete life is the number 70. That's why Rav Elazar ben Azariah, when he became Nasi, and even though he was actually much younger, he became Kiven Shivim Shana. And he's explaining that when one achieves the refinement of all the 70 midas as they are made up of 10, then one achieves reaches the state of ayin, which is the letter, which is the numerical value of 70, and ayin indicates the union of Re'iyah and Elikus, which is why in Kriya Shema in the Torah, the Ayin is a large Ayin, because the large Ayin represents the fact that right now that the Shmiya, Shema, that the Shemitah is supposed to ultimately bring to the ultimate is actually the Ayin Abasi, which is the Ayin of Riya. Other explanations of Hasidus are that Shem Ayin, that Ayin represents the Midas as they are totally as the Alamayla and totally Batla and Elkos, and Shem Ayin is the awareness that everything that exists in the world as we know it is only an illumination from the Ayin Rabbas, whatever it is, each thing is each whatever the various explanation.
Shema
is made up of the letter. The Ayin Rabbas is a different size Ayin.
No.
Shema is meaning a shame, an illumination from the great Ayin, which represents God's Midas. And as those midas are kalim to express his infinity. So basically here he's talking about to achieving the Ayin Rabbasi of Krishna, which is where we are masking Yitzhiz Mitzvah. The fun is moving echt elimut from the Medrash to Eden, and from this is also understood what is the lesson of this Medrash to all Jews today. We should know, as a filu Zayin Dikun Golos, that even being in exile, is native of them as didn't blive and kind, but tackles the shlame is removing the pushit. In addition to the fact that Jews remain existing and exist in a total completeness as understood and obvious, okay, Merom is eich b'seif parashis v'yichi v'yachantu eise v'yisam b'arum b'mitzrayim, as v'yachantu is b'chdei their guf zal blive and kaya, as alluded to us in the end of parashis v'yichi, as it says that they embalmed him and placed him in a coffin in Mitzrayim, that the point of embalming is that the guf should remain complete. Is ve'ele shmeis b'nei Yisrael abay Mitzrayim meis b'nachme, as Hashem gu'ulas Yisrael nizkeru kan. That ele shmeis b'nei Yisrael, he adds that Hashem gu'ulas Yisrael nizkeru kan, that they are mentioned here because of the idea of redemption, the nesiv of them is hidden bleiben ganz, als Hashem is beguf m'chaim gashm m'chaim ruchnim gam yachan. In addition to the fact that Jews remain whole as souls and bodies, and physical life and spiritual life together, and the Shama Briya Beguf body betachlis Hashlemus, a healthy soul and a healthy body in a state of complete perfection, Steinze in a matzav nitna vasfirtsu de gula, and anachme a matzav from gula Yisrael, biskoli mechayachel lehovi de mesa mashiach lekid lakama. That Jews are able to are standing in a situation of Gulas Yisrael till the ultimate of Klai Mechech Lehavi Demais HaMashiach, as we shall see further on. And Mitzvah Hashem, we will see that in next week.